Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel Yor, Nathan Weir, Brothers, Ruby Comics.
We're back. From last week.
Yeah, we didn't go anywhere for you, but I went somewhere.
Yeah, you went somewhere.
But I'm back.
You left me.
Yeah.
You're back. You look a little sun-kissed.
Do I?
No.
Okay.
I never would have thought that you went anywhere with sun.
I am very protective of my skin because it's expensive, you know. And so
your skin, have you sold it?
No, but it's pricey. I paid a lot for it.
That's true. Yeah, you got some R on there.
So I think that's kind of like how I convince myself to put on sunscreen.
To do skincare.
Put on sunscreen fucking sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And it's the dumbest shit ever.
You feel so lame doing it.
I feel like a child.
No one's ever looked cool putting on sunscreen, I don't think.
Never. So. unless it's the spray stuff and it makes your abs shiny or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, if you got washboard. Got CGs.
But asking like your mom to put some on your back. You know?
Just like, ugh.
Yeah. Dude, and
it's also just important. You should do
that. Yeah, it is important. And so like having tattoos, I was like, it's kind of my way of always putting on sunscreen
expensive,
and protecting from skin cancer and stuff like that.
Yeah, expensive sunscreen reminder.
Which is like pretty treatable in certain cases. So.
Right.
But at the airport, dude, I went into like the Hudson News or whatever, and I went to the books, obviously checking out the comics that they had.
Oh, yeah. Did they have comics?
The first pass through, I didn't see any comics. But I saw like when you're on a plane, you want like a nice little book mm-hmm. past the time. Well, they had the fucking Thor omnibus that you could get.
The Jason Aaron one?
And now it was like Straczynski and like.
Who that dude?
Colin Bunn or something? No, not
oh,
Colin
really?
Bunn. It was like.
Oh, like a random
No, Kieran Gillen. I think it was like both of their runs together or something.
Oh.
It was like a thick boy. And they had three copies of this thing.
They were really confident in
and
that
they
one.
Were 30% off. I'm like, they can't get rid of these things.
Wow.
Because you would want to carry around like a fucking 50-pound omnibus practically.
It's like, do you want to add another 30 pounds to whatever you're carrying around?
Yeah. But then I looked more and they had like Dogman and they had like a bunch of copies of Volume 7 of Saga for some reason.
Okay. Good volume.
And then a bunch of the newer, like, Marvel trades that are coming out,
you know,
that new trade dress that's kind of like a border. I don't know if you've seen those.
I don't know if I've seen it.
But, like X-Men and stuff, and there's, like, Rogue and, like, shit like that. That's cool. They're ordering, like, new stuff, you know?
Did you pick one of those up? I'm surprised you didn't come prepared for something on your Kindle.
I did. I just was in there.
Cause you saw a look?
Yeah, I had to go grab a white monster and then check out what they have because it kind of tickles me to see what they stock.
Yeah.
And three Thor omnibuses is hilarious.
That was pretty funny.
I could have like stole that and no one would stop me.
And they'd be like, oh, thank you.
Be like, there's no, you didn't get them all.
There's two more if you want them.
Yeah, I should have looked up. I should have looked up if they're like out of print or something. Maybe like I could flip them or something. But
yeah, throw up a whatnot stream.
Yeah. It's just a random Thor omnibus of a run I never heard of. But
yeah.
Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Invincible Universe : Battle Beast.
Is that officially what it's called?
Yep. That's how you find it.
Mm, okay.
We got Back Meta Matters in the pull list, but we start with the news. Did anything happen?
I was going to ask you that. I don't know if I paid as close attention as I probably should have since you were traveling, but they are reprinting JLA Avengers, the original DC Marvel crossover.
The facsimile edition?
Yeah, they're doing facsimiles.
That's pretty cool.
And
I think it's facsimile. Facsimile sounds smoother, but...
Facsimile. I don't know. I guess I don't know what the root of the fact is.
Factor.
A fact. I don't know.
Anyway.
But they're doing it starting in May. And Marvel will publish 1 and 3. DC will publish 2 and 4. And they will do monthly of those.
That's cool because they reprinted the trade like a few years ago.
Yeah.
And that was like fucking gone immediately.
Mm-hmm. You have one, don't you? Is that what you got or you got a different version?
I don't think mine comes with that. I could check.
Comes with what?
Yeah, no, it's not included in that. Because. That has like all like the crossover one shots, you know, like your Batman Daredevils or whatever. Then the amalgam stuff is the amalgam stuff.
Oh, okay.
And then I think there's like the DC versus Marvel miniseries. That's but cool. This, like, I remember asking Drew about that. He's like, I only got like one or two copies. And I guess he like already had people that knew that he knew like needed those things or whatever, you know?
The JLA
Avengers.
Really? He didn't order a bunch of them?
I don't think it was like that. Like, I think it was,
or at least like five, you know, for the shelf.
It wasn't even, I don't know. It made it seem like it was limited to how much you could buy or something.
Oh,
it was
okay. Weird. That is weird.
But that's good, you know, because then
people can pick it up if they want.
Yeah, yeah.
I like facsimiles.
It's more for the story in that, yeah. At that point.
I like that. Yeah, exactly. Because if I wanted to read that Invincible Spider-Man thing that's coming up, I think this week.
Yeah.
As of recording. And I like that they do a facsimile of like the original cover too. I think there's other covers that they're doing for that reprint of the Invincible Spider-Man one.
Like new covers?
Yeah, new covers. Which is cool too. Yeah, I think
they're reprinting covers too.
Yeah.
This is like a Darwin Cook one.
What? That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to look for that. But speaking of reprints, Daniel, Absolute Batman, Absolute Wonder Woman, Absolute Martian Manhunter. I don't know. DC Comics is doing an absolute reprint thing. They're reprinting 50 different books and they're like mass releasing them on March 4th, which is tomorrow's recording. So you're too late. But they're also doing a second installment on March 18th. So I think they're doing like 25 reprints.
Yeah. So they're just,
so reprinting,
they're meeting the demand, which doing, is what they should do.
Yeah. Which is cool. I think this is a cool thing. So they're mass dropping everything. Absolute Batman number one, which would be its 11th printing, which is crazy.
Yeah.
All the way through Absolute Batman number 14. So that'll all drop.
Yeah, March that shit's 4th. Still selling, dude. Keep printing.
Yeah, 100%.
That's probably where like the Ultimate Universe went wrong, because I don't think there are like a bunch of printings.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And I would be surprised if it went past like three or four, even for the first.
I would just do like Spider-Man and Black Panther and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolute Wonder Woman 1 through 11 is being reprinted. And Absolute Superman 1 through 10. And then on the 18th, you can get your Absolute Flashes and Absolute Green Lantern and Absolute Martian Manhunter.
That's cool, because like, if you don't know comics, what's on display is like the new printings or whatever, or like just the new stuff. And you might not even know a trade is out.
Right.
You know, and it just being like visually available.
Yeah. And all of those on the shelf. You know, that specific day or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe like you just missed the wave. You can just pick up however many of them. I don't know what price they're going to be.
I think just probably normal cover price.
Yeah, because you're still printing a book, but
that'll probably, those single issues probably make more than trades do anyway.
So. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because I think the second one of Absolute Batman came out. So the second of the rest of them probably are coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
If not already.
Mm-hmm.
The only news I saw was there's a new Jeff Lemire book coming out.
Cool.
With Teddy Christensen. It's called Mr. Oblivion.
Sounds cool. And
it's going to be a three original graphic novel series, so three OGNs that come out, not all at once, but over time. Coming from some publisher called Harper Alley, and this is kind of like their flagship comic. Because I think they make books normally.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But what's weird about this announcement is that the first graphic novel is not coming out till next summer.
Hmm.
Like, shit they're, gets like so solicited. Yeah, shit gets listed like 3 years in advance or 3 months in advance. Right. Maybe.
And they're doing it 15 months in advance, pretty much.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's how books work.
Probably. I mean, you'd think it. I mean, yeah, probably.
But we got like a cover and a couple pages. It looks weird, you know, and cool. So I'll definitely check it out. But
sweet. That's pretty much all I had.
All right. I like it.
I like it too.
What book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Invincible : Battle Beasts, Volume 1, Heart of Glory.
Invincible Universe : Battle Beasts. Don't worry about it.
Created by Robert Kirkman. Artist, writer Ryan Otley, colorist Annalisa Leone. Is that normally who we have on?
Also created by Ryan Otley. Who? What?
Also created by Ryan Otley, yeah.
Colorist? No.
And then Russ Wooten.
Russ Wooten.
For lettering.
It was like Rathbun. Cliff Rathbun?
Does that right? Rathburn.
Rathburn?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of Invincible.
Rathburn would be a cool name for like an orc.
At work?
An orc. Like a Lord of the Rings orc. Rathburn.
Rathburn. Yeah, sure.
I like that.
Have you seen that book Dork?
Yes.
It's been coming out.
And yeah, I was very close to picking it up.
It's going for like a third printing now.
What?
Yeah.
People are loving it?
Loving it.
It looks good. I was like, it was super close to picking it up.
What was it?
It's Scotty Young, Jorge Corona, I think.
No.
Scotty Young and...
Not Scotty Young. It's the guy who does I Hate Fairyland now with Scotty Young.
That artist.
His name is fucking...
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
He's got the same name as like the Invincible... No, the Incredibles.
Corey. Oh.
Director. It's got a C in it, I think.
That sounds right. Hold on. Starts with a B.
Is it like Barry?
No.
Bart?
It starts with a BR.
Brandon Byrne.
And he'd probably be hate.
What is it?
Be referred to by his last name. He's Brett Bean.
Brett Bean.
Wait, he did Dungeon Crawler Carl? The Crocodile?
But yeah, I think he wrote in.
You're right.
Wrote and drew that.
Yes, he did.
And so it has been kicking ass.
I recognize Jean-Francois Belou, so maybe that's why I got it mixed up, because he's the colorist for that.
There's some other book that went back for a couple printings too that I like.
Comics are healthy.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
But Invincible Daniel, the new season's coming out.
Yeah.
Probably going to be pretty good.
It could be like the best season.
Really?
With like story-wise.
Because 3 was a little lacking.
3 was definitely like my most pissed off one I was watching.
Okay.
Just like,
why?
Animation wise.
Yeah.
You know, but everything else is cool.
That was good. I liked some stuff in there.
I love Conquest. So like seeing him was like super satisfying. Mm-hmm. And then the Invincible War is really cool. But this next arc should be a lot of fun. So
I should grind Invincible.
Huh?
Maybe I should just power through all Invincible.
It's a great one to power through.
Yeah.
Because it's
quick.
It's got that just like Kirkman like flow
right.
to it. And it like never breaks that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some like more dense moments and whatnot, but I think that's why I was able to get through it and why I like it so much.
I was cooking through a series this week and it was quite nice. So
Do this or something else?
A different one.
Oh, okay.
But so this like takes place in season one, which is how I view the continuity, which is the fight in that big building.
Yeah, and with the machine heads, with like
the office. I know where your family lives.
Yeah,
with that guy. And so he like had just left, but this came out last year.
Yeah,
and it's pretty fun.
Good time. There's no issue breaks in this.
It sucks.
Which is the worst.
I kind of guessed because the numbers that you gave me for the issue breaks, it clearly wasn't an issue break. So I just like guessed.
Because like so some of the issue breaks were like in the middle of conversations.
You know?
So it's like impossible. I'm like,
what? Like one of the ones you sent me, the last panel, like the word balloon ended with like a dash and continued on to the next page. And I'm like, there's no shot that that's what it was supposed to be.
It is. I checked.
Maybe they just like, they didn't even want it issue breaks, but they were just like, I guess we gotta.
No, because like every issue ends with like a thing, you know, like a little mini cliffhanger.
Yeah, and some of them make sense. Yeah,
like you're releasing it in issues. Just put the cover.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't even put the trade dress. Just
put the cover.
Just so that we know we have some sort of like.
We're the indicator. Only ones that have this problem, though.
I think so, because like even if this was rewritten and releases no GN, it would not. Like, the breaks are just, like...
They're pretty helpful. Obvious.
Yeah. Like, not even that. Like, he just isn't right that way to where, like, it could come out as, like, 1OGN, you know? Yeah. And he never will, probably.
Yeah, because he loves comics so much, Daniel.
And he loves money. He wants issue sales and trade sales.
I think if that was his main motivator, he wouldn't come back to comics.
Money?
Money, yeah.
Well, He's made all his money from comics.
Well, I know, but
if he wanted to release this as an OGN, he could, but it just would not have like the 400,000 sales for that.
Oh,
number
right,
one.
Right.
I guess. Know what I mean? So, yeah.
But I don't think I think he would have just stuck
Skybound is a publicly traded company now.
Oh, that's true.
So he's got to think about the numbers.
Yeah. He's like, let's do Invincible again. I was going to say, I don't think he would have done like Skinbreaker or whatever his thing is if he was like just trying to cash in on Invincible stuff for money.
Yeah.
So. But anyway.
What do you think of this?
I think this is fun. It's really fun. I see why they did this because it fills in just like a interesting little pocket of the universe. And I like the character.
Mm-hmm.
I think the character's silly.
Yeah.
And Ryan Ottley, it gives Ryan Ottley the avenue to just kind of do what he does best, which is a lot of blood and big swords and big muscles.
Big monsters, big muscles. Yeah.
So, I mean, I took most of my enjoyment out of that. I think he's such a stellar artist.
He's like the GOAT for me. Yeah, on a reread altogether, I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous. Like, I knew it was ridiculous like while reading it.
Mm-hmm.
But just like, after reading it and then kind of thinking about some of the decisions, I'm like, this is crazy.
It is. This is a pretty bizarre book. I will say I had read like the first two or three issues when this was coming out and I didn't finish it. I don't love where it finished. And I don't know. You'll have to probably explain it to me when we get there. But
okay. Where you finished or where this
finished? This book finished.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'll have questions for you at the end.
Especially because I thought six was the last one. You know,
is it not?
No, there's like gonna be six more, I think.
Are they on like a
hiatus?
Well, okay.
I think it comes back. Good. I think it comes back this month, actually.
Oh, cool. We'll go pick it up at your shop. You're late. Go get it.
Number seven.
So anyway, issue one starts when he beats the fuck out of Invincible and
everybody.
The teen team. Is that who they were?
I think so, yeah.
And that was in season one. What issue was it, Daniel? If you could remind us specifically the issue, get it right.
32.
Nice. Thank you. You're probably pretty close.
Maybe.
And so when Battle Beast leaves, he goes to his ship, which he has stolen and killed the crew of. And the ship's computer hates Battle Beast for killing the crew because that was like the only thing that the computer knew as a family. Quick pause. Do you think the computer's a woman? I feel like the computer's a woman. In my head. And I didn't realize that I was thinking that she's a woman until right now.
The computer is non-binary.
No, she's exclusively binary. Think about it.
Yeah.
She's coded in binary.
Yeah, either one or
so
two.
So you're not getting out of this because of this one. But in my head, I read it as like a woman voice, and I don't know why. She might have, they might have.
Kind of. I thought that definitely a feminine voice. But
yeah. Okay, anyway.
Oh, it was issue 19. That was early.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I guess it's before Omni-Man reveals himself to be a big piece of shit.
To the people? Yeah,
to the people.
I think so.
And Invincible, right?
Because we figure out...
In the comics, you don't figure it out until...
12?
12.
Yeah, because I was thinking like, oh, this would be a great gift. Like the deluxe, though. So that you know at the end. But
right.
In the show, they did at the end of the first episode.
Which is the right move.
Which is the correct thing to do.
Right.
I was like... But like I'm like, okay, I get it.
You're such a pure, yeah, you're doing your purest thing. But like if the last 5 minutes of the episode were on there, I'd be like, that's fun.
That's like what hooks like Sarah.
Yeah,
she's like, what the fuck.
I think that hooked most people because like, it was
yeah
and it was well animated. But anyway,
that's true.
So the computer has a hate for Battle Beast for killing crew, so they team up to try to find Battle Beast a contender that'll actually kill him in battle, which is what he wants. So they're kind of on the same team in a way because they both want him to die. And the ship brings Battle Beast to Colossus, who's an alien who's been banished and trapped under a cosmic nail in a barren world. So Battle Beast and Colossus fight. He like frees him from the thing. Battle Beast wins, and then he finds an alien with no legs that was inside Colossus's stomach this whole time. And his name's Salaka. But I think what's fun about this book is I love the dynamic of Battle Beast wants to die in like a glorious battle. Mm-hmm. And he just longs for this battle that somebody will best him in because it'll be an honorable death. And then I also like that the ship's computer is like, I hate this guy, so I also want him to die.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun dynamic.
He also has like an unquenchable thirst for battle. as well.
Yeah, just the love of the game.
But it like just gets to a point where he like just can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is like kind of I don't know if that's been done before, but I think that's a fun
yeah,
dynamic
it's cool.
for him, you know?
As soon as I read this first like issue, and it's not like I was iffy going in, I knew it was going to be a fun comic, but I was like, okay, this is a fun little like side story to explore. And of course, Ryan Otley doing fights as he does, lots of blood. And this Colossus character is pretty wild looking.
Yeah.
You could tell he had some fun with that one.
Yeah, I love his monster designs. I think he's good at like new aliens, you know, just things that you haven't seen
that
before.
Too.
Yeah. There on page 9, he's like Battle Beast is talking to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And he like explains why there's dialogue. He's like, I should share my story occasionally for the fear I will otherwise forget it. And I'm like, okay, we got some words coming.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I think it's funny.
Yeah, it's like, I think he does that sometimes. Because sometimes he'll just have like,
just block
not
text.
Much to look at, but like a bunch of connecting bubbles. And you're just like, ah.
But I think...
it's normally not like dull.
I think with Kirkman, that he does that like only once an issue at most.
Yeah, which is
you'll get nice. The exposition... You know, I think he'll be kind of cheeky about it, like he did with Battle Beast here, where he's like, I'm going to tell you all this. I'm a trauma dump or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool.
I thought this issue specifically was like kind of dialogue heavy, but
it is.
Definitely lightens up.
Yeah. But the rest of it is like pretty swift. So I think it's worth.
So like big aliens Colossus.
Yep.
Then there's another one later. There's another one later that's Juggernaut.
Yeah.
I'm
like, I think those are
X-Men.
Taken. I think those are taken.
Yeah. But anyway, there was a bit where Battle Beast is biting Colossus.
Yeah.
But then Colossus like pulls like just all of his hair and it kind of like stretches his skin back.
Yeah.
And it's really funny to me.
It is very
it's
like Looney Tunes or something.
Like a dog is like biting something
you
shouldn't
like,
have.
Let it go. And you're like trying to open his mouth and you just get the gums.
Yeah. It's just like something anatomically that's like funny.
Yeah,
that you just have to know to draw that sort of thing.
He's got hella he's got pink gums, so he brushes.
Yeah, dude,
that'll be so good for him.
Flossing is very important.
I like that every alien has just green blood in Ryan Otley's eyes, or whoever colors his eyes.
It really doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be.
Like, to him, I mean, Ryan Otley doesn't color it.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't color it, but
he's
feels
just doing
like
the blood whatever he wants.
It feels like alien blood is always just green in his stuff.
Yeah,
because there's like, I remember there's a page in the Spider-Man where there's a bunch of aliens that are there in New York and it gets bloody and it's just green blood just because you can't have a bunch of blood in a Marvel comic.
Yeah.
And there's probably a couple other examples in Invincible in general.
In the
like
best
that.
Thor movie, Love and Thunder, when they're battling in like Atlantis or whatever,
mm-hmm.
all the blood is like gold, but it's like a fucking bloodbath.
Right.
But like, you're not like,
it's cold blood, so it's like, oh,
you're not like opposed to it because it's not like red and gory.
I was trying to think of my least favorite MCU movie, and it's definitely Thor Love and Thunder, but I hate it so much that I totally forgot about it just in general. I totally locked it away because I was like, I didn't really like that new Captain America, and I was trying to think of like other bad examples, and it's definitely Thor Love and Thunder for me.
You're gonna let me think about it.
Yeah.
I think I dislike the first Thor more than fourth one.
Really?
Yeah.
I think there's solid stuff in there.
People don't like Ultron. I think that's not that bad.
Ultron's underrated.
People don't like Dark World, but I think that's not that bad either.
I don't remember much of Ant-Man and the Wasp, but I don't think it's bad. And then Quantumania, people don't like because of the Kang stuff being not great. But I think there's some fun stuff in that movie. It's just kind of all over the place.
I just remember Ghost and the Wasp, and that was cool.
Yeah, Ghost is cool.
It's easier to pick out shows that you don't like.
There's definitely more terrible MCU projects that are shows, like Secret Invasion. Probably the easiest one to pick out is the worst, but movies-wise, yeah. I was trying to think.
Like, even Iron Man 3 has got, like, some good parts. Like, I don't remember
Like, at worst, they were typically just forgettable to me. But there's only been, like, two that I actively thought were just bad.
Let me just glance at the list real quick.
Yeah. People didn't like Thor 2, but I appreciate what they were doing with it.
Yeah, no, dude, at the end,
Malekith
they jump through all the little portals and stuff.
Yeah.
That's really neat. And then like an evil elf or whatever, that seems like something.
Yeah, that's very Thor.
Yeah.
Some people might say like the Marvels.
I like that one. There's fun in that.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I like ranked them all, there would be one that would end up at last.
that's how a list goes.
But,
yeah.
But it's not like I would be, there's any that I like hate.
Yeah.
You know, like I like give it like kind of like a like hospital example. Like you're in the hospital room or whatever, the middle of the night or whatever, or you're just up, no one in there. There's only one good movie channel and they're just doing like a Marvel thing right now. Nothing that would come on where I'd be like, I should just go to sleep, you know, or or I should just like
you watch through like all 30 whatever movies.
And that they wouldn't be like in order, but like there's nothing that would come on and be like, nah, fuck that. Except for maybe Brave New World, but
yeah, Brave New World.
There was good parts in it though.
There is. It's There is good stuff in that. And there's also good stuff in Thor: Love and Thunder, but it's just overwhelmingly not good stuff for me.
But like the gore stuff is
gore's cool.
So cool.
It is cool.
It's like perfect, I think.
Perfect?
The gore stuff, pretty perfect.
Mm,
like I wouldn't change anything. Like I like the decision that was made with that.
Really?
You know? If that movie was just that, like not even in it.
I did like it when it went black and white.
Yeah, and the little planet thing.
No, the little planet, it was a little wonky because it seemed like a pretty small planet.
There's the Necrosword or whatever.
Ebony Blade?
Ebony Blade?
No, that's Black Knight.
Yeah.
Necrosword. That sounds right.
Or Necroblade?
Necroblade, perhaps. And I liked that Eternal dude at the end. I just like how he looked. The one above all, maybe.
Oh, Eternity?
Eternity, yeah.
Yeah. It was just like a cutout.
It was good. Yeah, I was like, this is an interesting choice.
If that shit moved, I would have shit my pants. Anyway,
issue two, Daniel.
Thor: Love and Thunder, good movie.
It's not. Battle Beast. He brings the alien Salaka, who's the prince of the Fantanian planet. He brings him back to the ship to like maybe eat him later, just for food. And Salaka promises to bring Battle Beast to Colossus's more powerful sister, Juggernaut, who has taken over Fantania. And so he's like, okay, that sounds good. You know, we got a lead on a more powerful foe. And so they go to a space mall to get Salaka fixed up. And to pay for his tech suit, Battle Beast wins a fighting tournament and uses the funds to get Salaka the suit. But I like this little detour, and then they had to figure out how to put fighting in there, and so they're like, yeah, we got this like big fighting tournament over here.
I like this little clit guy.
The super strong one?
In the final round?
Yeah, in the final round.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate design, but...
Such a...
Just don't think about it.
Just don't think about it.
From a distance, totally chill.
And it's a cat fighting him, too?
Huh?
And it's like a cat fighting him too.
Ooh.
Ooh, wow. There's layers to this.
Pussy be pussy.
I like that. I like that Battle Beast switches up his weapons. He doesn't seem to like keep a favorite because he's got a mace and a sword in this one. Mm. And then the next issue, he has like this fork looking scythe. It's pretty cool.
Mm.
But it's something that I noticed. But there's a move that he does in this where he stabs the clit guy. And then he jumps onto the sword to like cut down the middle of him. And I thought that was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you get some creative action in there.
The clit guy, he's talking about how he just wants battle and he wants to die in battle or whatever.
Right.
And then like it goes to Battle Beast. He's like, same. knows it.
He's like, yeah, you pretty much nailed it. There's some fun, like, Star Trek dudes in here. Did you see those?
Star Trek dudes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like a fun little Star Trek reference.
Yeah, so I guess there was a guy in the clit guy.
There was a dude in the clit guy, yeah.
Okay. I think the biggest issue I have with this book is, like, Salaka's new robot body is, like, kind of thick.
Very sexy.
Yeah. And I'm like, is Salaka a woman? And I was just like...
Maybe that's why I think the ship is a woman.
Oh, because
eventually, because she goes into the thing, and I'm like, oh, fuck that robot.
Yeah,
because you see a silhouette of Sulaka at one point, I think, and I'm he's got an ass.
The first time we see it, it's like, you know, not that bad.
Yeah.
But the thighs get thicker and the hips get wider. Like later,
he just can't help but draw just sexy proportions on things. I guess. But yeah, I do like it.
Just because I don't know, it's confusing, Nathan.
What are you supposed to think?
Did you say at the end of this that the computer called the space police?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that was. I couldn't figure out where the fucking page break is, so I have that as part of the next issue, but. But yeah, the police get called on them and they get stuck in like a tractor beam thing.
Yeah. So issue three?
Yep. So issue three, as they leave, their ship gets caught in like a tractor beam by the magistrate for the Twin Galaxies, I guess, because Battle Beast needs to be tried for his crimes. And so Battle Beast fights all of the ships in space and he's just kind of floating around and fighting them. And then they eventually make it to Fantania. Sulaka tries to send signals to his planet from the atmosphere, but he doesn't hear back from him. And then their ship gets attacked by a dragon thing, and they crash land. This is pretty much a fighting issue, which is cool.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah.
This is my favorite page of the trade.
When he jumps out.
Yeah.
And he's like looking the other direction and be like, oh, shit.
Because the ship like put the portal purposely not like, towards the ship.
Facing away.
Because that'd be too easy.
Yeah.
And they could have just shot him, but one guy who just had this vendetta fired at him first, but that like pushed him towards the other ships
and
fucking them all
up. And then he's in control now.
He's like, he ain't my father. He's like, he ain't all our fathers.
Yeah, you gotta wait your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's two of the new weapons. This is like the fork scythe
thing.
And then, I don't know, this like other machete thing he has.
It's just stupid.
So
it's like a bottle opener.
So weird. It does look like a bottle opener. Just like so oddly blocky. But I like that he just has different weapons.
I like the teeth on this alien. It just makes like no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what even is that?
Yeah. It's like
the ships are fun.
Confusing.
I like just visualizing him just kind of jumping from ship to ship. And then he just like does a quick swipe to take out the pilots of each of them.
So I wonder if he can like breathe in space or he just holds his breath.
I think he just doesn't need to breathe that much.
Probably not.
So I think he just holds his breath.
And then he clearly has some sort of healing factor sort of thing. So it's like,
yeah,
I think
you need that.
I don't think like
a character like this
space would kill him, you know?
No, because he mentions that he's like happy to kill the ship that he's on. And just float around in space.
Yeah.
Until he like fucking finds something, I guess. like he has this need to like kill things, but he's also perfectly fine just floating in space for a little bit until somebody finds him.
He's very content with whatever situation he's in. I think I tend to complain about like glass shattering.
I was about to bring that up.
In comics, and this is like the glass shattering 101, like the perfect example of it.
I do love that panel.
And it's the tits.
Because he headbutts the glass, which is a really funny idea because he's got like hands and swords and stuff.
Yeah, so it's affecting like the rest of the windshield to bend towards him. And then there's also just like the
shattering takes the shape of his head.
Right.
Which is cool.
And yeah, it's the best.
Yep, just further cements Ryan Otley as one of the goats because he does not shy away from detail. There's a lot of blood that happens in this
like, red
space
blood
scene, and it's like space blood, so it's like kind of going in all different directions, you know?
It like floats.
Yeah, it floats. I guess it kind of just looks the same as what he normally does for blood, but it's cool.
Their ship gets attacked by
a dragon
thing on the Fantania or whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was Juggernaut for a second.
That would be, and I hope this comes back later because that's just a cool design.
Yeah, it is cool.
Dragon with four wings, you know? But they're like falling and he's just like calmly waiting to crash.
Yeah.
He's like, well, he's just like,
this is what we're doing. Crossing his arms.
As if he's like waiting in line for like a latte.
And Sulaka's like, how can you be so calm? And he's like, easily. So yeah,
he's got a lot of aura, I think.
He does.
Even if it's like, just bitter and bitchiness.
Just indifferent to obviously dangerous situations.
Yeah. Oh, dude, there's a character I think that's going to be in this season that like kind of hulks out, right? But he only hulks out if he's like indifferent about something. So not when he's mad, not when he's happy, just when he's like, you know, and then he like would hulk out.
That sounds funny.
And I don't remember.
Is he a prominent character? He or she?
Yes, they are. Cool. Well, there's a chance that they don't make them that important because it is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
The whole premise. But I remember,
probably make for a good gag.
But I remember them being in there for like 20 or 30 issues.
Really? Okay.
So we'll see. Four?
Okay, issue four. So everyone survives a crash land. Battle Beast tames some aliens, I guess. Some wolf-looking aliens that they can ride around with. Salaka uploads the ship's AI into his tech suit, his thick tech suit. And on their journey to find Juggernaut, they come across an alien in distress. She's pretty hot. And so they're like, you know what, we should help this alien. And it ends up being a witch that paralyzes both Battle Beast and Salaka with the intent to eat them. But when Salaka proves that Battle Beast defeated Colossus by showing his blade that I guess they took as a trophy, the witch puts a healing curse on Salaka and then forges a sword for Battle Beast to take to the castle and fight Juggernaut. There's a really sexy alien in this game. And I see this and I'm like, Ryan Ollie just knows how to make the sexiest aliens.
Yeah.
Easily.
The best.
It's so funny. Because it's like, and obviously it was a trick.
There's no unattractive women in Invincible, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so it just makes it funny to like give yourself a reason to draw just like a super hot alien to draw someone in because it's actually a witch.
Yeah. And then at the end, did you finish?
Yeah.
At the end of this, like we get just a back shot of the sister and she's much bigger and much spikier than Colossus.
Oh yeah.
And that's basically her biggest attribute.
I like aliens with spikes coming out of them. Because this one comes out of, like, her elbow.
Yeah.
And then her traps, I guess?
There's also one that comes out of her calves.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that one's, like, perpendicular to a calf, too.
Yeah, like, it doesn't really make sense as if it was, like, a bone that did that.
Right.
Because it's not, like, comes out like it's an elbow. It's yeah, like, kind of more
go
like,
along with a bone.
Yeah, it's almost like a Dakin kind of thing.
Right.
Where it's just, like, an extra one.
Uh-huh.
But not quite like, it doesn't seem to be useful. It's just kind of for aesthetics, mm-hmm. You know?
He's like, where can I fit a spike? I like these horse things that they're riding. I don't know what else to call them, but they're like the aliens that they're riding around. And I think that's just a good alien design.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing some of the wildlife of different alien planets. So
you ever see Ryan Ottley like, draw something out of like his son's like scribble?
I think I've seen one of those. Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty good at those.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it recently, but it would just be the most ridiculous thing that he'd make like the most ridiculous looking monster from it.
Oh, yeah.
And these kind of remind me of those, you know, it's very possible.
Right. We see some like a soft spot, I guess, in Battle Beasts a little bit in this issue and then a little bit later. But these aliens like give him a lick on the face and he like starts to, he gives him like a little chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just think that's cute.
Yeah. He's got a little soft spot.
He's got a little soft spot every once in a while.
He's not all.
He's got a bit of depth.
Yeah. He's like a cannoli, you know?
That's what I would describe him to.
Or a knish.
I don't even know what that is. Anything else for this issue?
No, I'd like nothing. Just bigger and spikier sister.
Yep. So yeah, issue five, we get the background story of Colossus and Juggernaut when they invade Fantania. The young Prince Salaka, and you know he's young because he's got this like weird head of hair. And the young Prince Salaka is arrogant and believes that the military is just going to handle him because he's royalty. And he's like, yeah, they always handle it. It's fine. But Colossus ends up eating him. And then Salaka, like, that's when he loses like his lower half of his body, gets bitten. But then he goes into Colossus's stomach. And he finds his parents in there, like already in the stomach, which is funny. And they
from
both,
like a month ago.
Yeah. And they both give Salaka their life force, which helps him survive in the stomach for like 1,000 years or whatever until Battle Beast frees him in the first issue. And in the present, they are in Salaka's old palace, and he heals just enough to have like little legs. So he jumps out of the tech suit, and then he gets stomped by Juggernaut. And I don't know where this issue is supposed to end, but that's all I have written down for issue 5.
So it ends at 117.
I think we have different editions.
So the it ends like with him getting stabbed, like in the stomach the first time.
Okay. So they start their fight and they get stabbed. Oh, okay.
Is that 118 for you?
That is 120 for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So okay.
So things are versions, I guess.
Weird.
So yeah, they start their fight and Battle Beast gets stabbed. But there's a sweet little moment in here. Is it in this one? Yeah. Where Battle Beast is like, "You crushed my friend."
Oh, yeah.
And then Slaka's like, "What did you just say?"
Yeah, the dude's bro, the bro's like legs got smashed again.
Yeah, I know. He just got him back. He's like, "Wow." He's like so excited that he just got him back. And then he immediately
gets like the
stomped.
Deadpool, like baby legs.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
I love like a contradicting panel, you know, where like, because Salaka is like, there's no way they're ever going to breach the castle. And then the next page is like, they're breaching the castle.
Yeah. I like how silly he looks with hair. He's got like this weird.
Yeah.
This weird hair. And then when he gets eaten.
It
and
looks
he
like a toupee.
It does. I feel like it looks like a person. I just couldn't say who. Maybe it looks like. All right, kind of just looks like when Macklemore used to do that shit with his head, with his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks like someone who would be on like Outer Banks or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one too. But the scene where he's like trying to hide out from Colossus, it's like pretty intense. He gets grabbed, he gets eaten in half and then swallowed. And then he like, it's like already a pretty like terrible scene. And then he sees his parents already in his stomach. I just thought that was pretty funny.
So he's hiding in some bunker.
Yeah.
And a couple pages earlier, like the general was like, "You have to talk to the troops and like give them hope, whatever." Mm-hmm. He's like, "There's no hope." And then he's like, "You coward."
Yeah.
And so when he went into hiding with some women,
"Oh, it'll be fine."
The army like sold him out. They probably end up dying anyway.
Right.
But he probably could have like survived a little bit longer if he had like done that.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows like kind of how shitty he was, and he had like 1,000 years to reflect on that.
Yeah, really think about that one. I like the drip that Juggernaut has. She's got some fun jewelry, I can only assume that that's jewelry. I guess.
Yeah,
on her horns,
a lot more.
She got some lipstick, so you know it's a woman.
Yeah, bit of eyeliner, I guess.
I don't know if you could tell.
Maybe she's dark.
I think it's just dark.
Like a shadow kind of thing.
Yeah. She's got massive biceps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then in issue 6, Juggernaut notices Battle Beast has a blade made from her brother. So she stabs Battle Beast. They fight. Battle Beast surprises Juggernaut when his sword like regenerates and stabs her in like the stomach. And then he cuts off her hand. And then Juggernaut throws Battle Beast away to escape the battle. And she's like, "I'm going to heal and then we'll fight again." And then the book kind of ends with Salaka is healing again because he still has that healing spell on him. And he's with the ship's AI in the suit. And Battle Beast is alive and healing. Colossus is also healing on that one planet. And then the Viltrumites are planning to send Conquest to Fantania. So they threw some Viltrumite stuff in there right at the end.
Mm.
And so this is where I have questions. So. Do you see Battle Beast again? You do, right?
In
Invisible, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the jail that Nolan is in. Nolan's in with Alan.
With Alan. Did we see that in the third season?
Yeah, it was one of the last episodes.
Okay, yeah. That's why I remember he's like alive. Okay, so then this guy Krieg. Right? Is that his name?
I think it's Craig.
It's definitely not Craig. If his name is Craig,
That'd be hilarious. Oh no, it's Craig.
I think this is the guy who's like voiced by like Clancy Brown.
Oh no, this is Thrag.
Thrag, yeah.
But there is a Craig, right?
Yeah, that's the dude with like the mustache.
Oh, mustache dude. Okay. Why is his mustache more Italian?
Kregg.
It's pronounced Craig for sure, but it's definitely not Craig. It's got to be Krieg, right?
Probably. I should name like a, if I have like another son, just it'd be Craig, but spelled this way.
The invincible way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that'll be Craig with a K.
Yeah. And two G's. I'll have to make a bet, be like, I can spell it however I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess anyone's mustache is just dependent on how they style it, you know?
Okay. Well, I mean, most of the Viltrumites have the same mustache, it seems like.
Like Tom Selleck, bushy.
Very thick mustache.
Yeah.
So I wondered if there's some sort of class system based off how Italian your mustache looks.
I don't know, because the women don't have mustaches.
That'd be sick if they did, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so Thrag.
Thrag.
We haven't seen him in the show. We've seen hints of him.
Hints. Yeah, I think you see him walk out.
And
or something.
He's top dog.
Yeah.
But he's not old.
I mean, like, age doesn't necessarily determine rank.
Well, it doesn't, but it does. You get stronger as you age, right?
As a Viltrumite,
yeah. Isn't that a thing?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could get stronger if
I thought that was why Conquest was maybe so strong, is because he's so old.
No. No, it just varies.
Okay, all right. And so is this referencing something that happened in the book? Whatever they're doing?
I think... No.
Okay. Or maybe this is just how they get Battle Beast in the jail? Like, maybe that's what they're alluding
probably.
To?
Probably.
Okay.
I guess, assuming there's only 6 issues left, I could even be like a team-up kind of thing where, like, Battle Beast and Conquest are fighting, like, the siblings.
I feel like it'd be the other way.
The siblings and Conquest fighting Battle Beast?
Yeah, because they got to capture him. Maybe Conquest and Battle Beast, they do partner, but then he, like, double-crosses Battle Beast at the end to throw him in jail.
Maybe.
That could be it, too.
He's telling them about these people for some reason.
Yeah, they're talking about Colossus and Juggernaut because they're from the mythical MCU.
The MCU?
The MCU. Oh, wait. Because they're Juggernaut and fucking Colossus.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
I was trying to paste that together.
There's layers to this shit. So, yeah, the planet MCU is, like, I guess what they were interested in, that planet in general, and they found Juggernaut on Fantania. So, I don't know. There's just this guy reporting that news, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're like, always trying to find plans to take over or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm not sure, but we'll see.
But
I think because there is such a big gap between the Battle Beast appearances, mm-hmm. they could really do whatever with people that aren't even introduced, like the Viltrumites, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't something you'd want to read
to get caught up
while doing, like, an Invincible reread, you know?
You wouldn't want to do that?
No, because, like,
I think
it's issue, like, 19, you don't know that there's other Viltrumites, you know?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like, this is, like, something that just
don't
really
read
works.
This first and then read, yeah.
Yeah.
If this is your first Invincible, obviously, do the comic.
Like, I think, like, with what we know as far as what's come out in the show, reading this now is perfect.
Right.
Because that's like probably a lot of the...
That's probably... They're aware of that too.
Yeah. And so it's kind of catering to that audience, which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope there's more of that.
Worked on me.
Because obviously it seems to be going well. And there, it's just like a big universe that they can like continue to expand on.
Right.
I don't know if Ryan Otley's got like other things going on, but it'd be cool if he just kind of stuck with this for a little bit.
Yeah, I hope he does. Because before this, it was like, he's been on with Spider-Man for a while. He's been on with Hulk for a while. And he was doing like Image comic What was that one thing? It was like Image Comics 2000 or something.
Oh, like, yeah, Plus or something.
Yeah, and then he did like a Walking Dead story. But I don't know what he did like right before this. But I like that he's doing Battle Beast.
I think it was just something under wraps for a while.
Yeah, probably. It probably takes a bit. But let's get into Back Matter Matter.
Matters.
There's a sketchbook, which is great. Because I don't know if I've seen Ryan Ottley sketches like this. So it's cool to see how he works. I know we've done Invincible comic.
That was the Corey Walker issues.
Oh, it was. Mm-hmm. Is this our first Ryan Ottley book?
It's your first Ryan Ottley book.
Well, for the pod.
Yeah.
Or no, we did.
No, we did fucking Grizzly Shark.
Grizzly Shark, of course. His best work.
Obviously.
You should get back to that. Fuck the Battle Beast. What about your Grizzly Shark crossover?
Oh my God. But Battle Beast versus Grizzly Shark.
I would go fucking nuts.
Dude, what if that's how Battle Beast dies?
Grizzly Shark comes in, he catches a stray.
He's just in the wrong woods at the wrong time.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a quick little, I don't know, interview thing from between Ryan Ottley and Robert Kirkman. It's mainly Ryan Ottley talking, but we see some sketches from him, which is pretty cool. And we see his like rough layouts versus like the final inked pages. And then he talks about the designs of Colossus and Juggernaut. And about, you know, what the initial designs look like. And Robert Kirkman's like, they should have had four eyes. And so that's why they added another pair of two eyes, I guess.
Hmm.
So I went through a couple of iterations of that. And I like what they landed on. So, and Ottley was saying he doesn't really get the chance to do a lot of like dark fantasy type stuff. And so that's why they made Fantania like have a bunch of castles and then like weird shit going on inside the castles, which those are pretty fun details. So it's cool that he's able to stretch his legs a little bit with that stuff. And then we get the covers, which should have been in between all the issues, but whatever. Nope. But really good covers here. I like the simplicity of this one where he's in space and there's a bunch of blood.
I really like this like wraparound cover.
Yeah, that one's fun.
It almost looks like kind of pop art.
Is that Ryan Ottley?
I think these are all Ryan Ottley.
Something's different about that one. It's just very thick, I guess. Yeah, I mean, just probably him experimenting a little bit. But he's a good cover artist for sure.
I can't find the Rotley. His little signature.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, there were some good covers for this. And then I think there was like a blind bag. And so you could have got any of these.
Oh,
or,
okay, cool.
Or at least for number one, there is a blind bag.
That's fun. And then you get a plug for more Invincible Universe books. So you get Invincible, Wolfman, which we've read.
Wolfman.
But there's Invincible Universe, Tech Jacket, Brit. Who the hell's Brit?
Brit. He's like a British Captain America, I think.
Okay, cool.
We could have read Brit.
And Capes.
But it just kind of seemed too like out of left field.
Yeah.
There's also Guarding the Globe, which is about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Or no, Guardians
That's probably
of the,
an Invincible Universe.
The Guardians of the Globe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like their Justice League or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we could possibly read like when season 4 comes out.
That seems fun.
Wait, are we on season 4?
Season 4 is about to come out.
Okay, so when season 5 comes out.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. What do you rate this book, Nathan?
I give this like a really nice bloody sausage.
Bloody sausage?
Yeah. But it tastes good. I don't know if I've ever had a bloody sausage.
I don't know if that's like a way you eat those.
But this is like our bloodiest artist.
That's true, yeah.
So I give it one of them. Or what does the blood look like?
Red.
It's red. A little goopy.
Dick.
Yeah, that's a good a blood sausage, we'll say. Prepared nicely, and it tastes good. And it's awesome.
You ever go to Matt's Big Breakfast?
Yeah.
And you ever get a Bloody Mary there?
No, I don't really like Bloody Marys.
It's the most ridiculous.
But that's a good one.
It's the most ridiculous Bloody Mary I've ever seen.
Why? They have a bunch of stuff?
They'll put like a strip of bacon in there.
Nice.
And then just like a bunch of really long sticks. Like the
celery.
toothpicks and like, yeah, it's just like, it's full. Like it's its own meal. Like you don't get that and food. You kind of just get that.
Oh, okay.
Because there's so much shit. There's like the cheese and all the shit that comes in like a,
oof,
anything you can think of. And it's delicious. Mm. It's actually really good.
I'm not a big Bloody Mary guy.
Really?
Something about like saltiness in my drinks. I don't fuck with too
much. I think it depends on what you were drinking the night before.
Like I don't, it's not a hangover cure or anything for me.
I think, I don't think you really drink it if you're like violently hungover.
No.
But if you're like a little hungover and you need just like a little hair of the dog kind of thing.
Right. That's what people say, but
it pairs with certain hangovers, you know?
Interesting.
What do you think the people on League of Comic Geeks?
They love it, Daniel. They give it a 4.4.
4.4. That's awfully optimistic, but it got a 4.5, Nathan.
Nah, God damn it. I was going to say 4.5, but I was like, that's optimistic.
Because I think that's the same rating as Daredevil Yellow.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, people just go off vibes. Yeah.
And Batwoman Elegy also got 4.5.
Okay. So sometimes people are excited about comics, Daniel. Let them be excited.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if this necessarily needed to be like 12 issues.
You know? I thought it was only going to be 6, and I was like, that seems like a good amount.
It could have been just.
But I don't know. We don't know yet. We
haven't read to 6, cut some stuff out.
Yeah, we haven't read the back half.
True. So we'll see.
Could be great.
So let's get into the poll list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
I did not look for this week, so what's coming out?
We got Batman number 7.
Oh, cool.
We got Batman, Green Arrow, The Question, Arcadia number 3.
Yep, I'll be picking that up.
And Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, number 6, is the final issue of Rite of Spring.
Okay, cool.
Are you looking at books that are coming out?
Nope, I'm just writing down what you're saying so I remember to go get them.
You writing down what I'm saying?
Yep, I'm listening to you.
DCKO number 5 comes out.
Yep. Got to read 3 and 4.
I'm just trying to see if there's anything else. Oh, the Marvel team-up facsimile.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that.
Pull it.
Probably grab that.
That book Nectar that you were telling me about.
I actually do want to check that out. The Butterfly Horror series.
Oh, yeah, dude. What if that just like fucks?
It might rip. I've seen ads for it.
There's another Doug Wagner book that's coming out.
Who's Doug Wagner? Is he the Nectar guy?
No.
Oh, you're just saying like another.
Yeah. He did like Plastic. And plush in like a fashion school serial killer.
Okay.
You know, those kind of like mini series that are like kind of quirky in a way.
Okay.
And always like kind of serial killer y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something called Narco. Seems pretty cool. But like his just reads really well in trade, mm-hmm. You know? Do read anything?
I did. I read Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil 14 through 19. So was cooking on that one. So I finished trade 3 and now I'm on trade 4. I think is what it is. And then I think when this trade finishes, it's like his event that he did, the Kingpin one. I forget what it was called.
Devil's Reign.
And then that relaunches Daredevil.
New number one.
With the new number one, but the same creative team.
Hmm.
But it's so good.
That Devil's Reign is at the end of both of those.
I want to say it was. It relaunched Daredevil after that, but I could be wrong. But where I ended this last issue 19, it seems like Fisk has hired the villains that go into Devil's Reign, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it worked out. But in this trade, the fourth trade, there's like two or three full Jorge Fornes issues, and he's just so incredible as an artist. So is Marco Cecchetto.
So there's 30 issues in the first run?
Oh, really? Okay.
Would you say?
I don't know. That sounds about right, though. I think there's 30 in this second. Oh, no, second.
36. Then, yeah, Devil's Reign, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Then Daredevil Woman Without Fear. That's 3 issues.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I guess that counts as like a tie-in for Devil's Reign, because then there's Devil's Reign Omega. And then the renumbering, like you're saying.
Okay, got it.
And then the second run is like 14? Just according to like the Daredevil by Chip Zdarsky omnibus mapping.
That makes sense. 36. Okay, cool. So I got a lot to go, which is cool. Because I've every issue, I'm like, damn, it's a good issue. Like, there's shit that's happening. And I think what Chip Zdarsky does really well and is very underrated on is crime families. Because they all feel very distinctly different. And you understand the beef that they're having with each other in like their domains and whatever.
Yeah.
And when one oversteps the other, you're like, oh, that's going to cost them trouble. And this Daredevil run's so good, and there's not even a Daredevil in it.
The New Burn, like his crime comic.
Yeah, and he does New Burn, and I thought that was pretty fun too when I was reading it.
Yeah, so. That he really does like the whole family thing really well. Yeah,
which is cool. And then he's also done like Batman, and there's some crime families in there. So I wonder if there's like a difference in his head to like how the crime families feel between Big Two and then just doing your own. But yeah.
It was just kind of like there's like, I know like mob people aren't relatable characters, but they're like human.
Yeah, know? They are. I think he does a good job of humanizing some people within the Libris crime family, because there's somebody in there that Matt Murdock like has sex with.
Nice.
And then he's like, oh, you're part of a crime family. That sucks. But then there's like Stromwinds. I think like some of the Marvel ones are sillier because you get Tombstone, I think is his name.
Yeah.
And then the Owl is in this.
Ooh.
And he doesn't fly around, but he's definitely in it.
Gay.
I wish he did fly around, to be honest. But yeah, there's like a couple different crime families, and it's I'm impressed at how much I'm able to keep track of it, because I think normally I get bored with that stuff, but he does it really well, which is a high praise. And then I read Psy Dimensional Rivals number 1, the Peach Momoko one.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
It's cool. I didn't realize that Stan Sakai was also doing art in this.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then Iván Coelho's in it, and he does like anime art. Or sorry, manga feeling art. Like it's black and white and stuff, and it's really cool. So I liked it like even more than I thought I was going to. So
is that like a series or one shot?
It's a series. I think number 2 is out already. I just gotta go get it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's a miniseries. I think it'll be like 5 issues is what it feels like.
Nice.
But there's parts of it that are Peach Momoko written and drawn stuff. And then I think she writes for Iván Coelho and Stan Sakai, who are just fucking awesome.
Nice.
What'd you read?
Nothing.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I know.
Did you watch a thing?
Lots of things. I bought a thing.
Ooh, let's see what you bought.
So we got back from our cruise. We went to breakfast. And right next door, Nathan, there was a shop called Defender Comics.
Oh, nice. Wait, where in Florida?
Yeah, Cape Canaveral, Florida. And I got the tick, Nathan.
No, wait, that looks awesome. Let me see that.
Yeah, this is like the first collected trade of
Dang.
The tick, which is cool because it's like wildly out of print.
Can you buy digitally?
Nope.
What? It's funny how he just looks like Patrick Warburton, huh? This looks awesome. I'm
yeah,
so
they didn't have a lot of trades, and all of it was used. And there's a lot of beat up stuff in there.
But this looks pretty good. It doesn't really look beat up.
Yeah, that trade's as old as me. That printing's from 1996.
Wow.
You're
old.
Yeah, it said $14.95. I'm like, I'll buy that. And then I was like, is that just cover price? She's like, oh no, that's like the $5 shelf. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
What?
So that's $5.
Wait, that's awesome. New England Comics Press.
Yeah, that was the publisher.
Wow.
But I don't think anyone has the rights for the tick, and there's no tick coming out. So it's just kind of.
Doesn't Prime have it? Or Amazon? Didn't they make a show?
Oh, that'd be cool if there was like Comixology originals. But yeah, this is what I was just kind of lucky that.
That's there.
That the first one I found. So this is kind of like where you'd start.
That's cool. That seems like a fun read. So
I actually looked into it like a couple months ago and just realized that it was all out of print and there's really no way to do it without buying shit on like eBay or whatever.
Yeah.
I just have this like mental list. I'm like, oh, you can't get that. You know, And sorry about that.
I should have a mental list of that too.
It's mostly just like, where do I start with that? You know, and then right. You look into it.
Like, and it's you can't. Tough shit.
Yeah, too bad.
This is why physical media is so important.
Especially comics. Because
especially comics.
Because things go out of print like that, you know?
Yeah, and no one cares about comics. So it's like, they're going to go out of print.
You know, I was looking into Usagi Yojimbo.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of Stansakai. And they had this Fantagraphics like slipcase thing that had like the first like 7 volumes
cool.
of the books that came out through Fantagraphics. And it was like $100 slipcase thing. And like, it was like,
you said 7 volumes?
7 volumes. And like,
$100, that's pretty good.
It was like 2 hardcovers that went in the slipcase. And I was in the comic shop with Sarah. And I saw it there. I was like, ooh. And it was like, it was around my birthday. She's like, you want me to buy that for you for your birthday? I was like, no. Because I think I wanted to buy something else for me.
Yeah.
And now it's like not at that shop and it's like out of print. And
you missed your chance.
You can get it on eBay for like $400.
Maybe she did get it for you.
I would shit my pants. Like, surprise. She doesn't remember shit like that.
Yeah. You
know? But especially because there's too many things. I'm like, ooh. You know? She can't keep track. But anyway, watching stuff. What'd you watch?
I watched a movie called Suzume. It's an
anime movie?
It's an anime movie.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. It might even be a Netflix original.
Is that that one about like the mom or something?
It is about a mom, but I don't know if you would have known that from a trailer.
Hold on. Oh, okay, no, never mind. I was thinking something else. How'd that go?
It's beautiful. It's so gorgeous. Story-wise, it's a little bit lacking, but really beautiful. I put it on to like maybe fall asleep to, and then I was kind of locked in immediately. Just
I had it in my list, so.
Yeah, it's cool. I would say I probably wouldn't recommend it as like, you gotta watch this, but if you're looking for something like pretty incredible visually and like colorful, is pretty good in that respect. It definitely feels like it's kind of like a silly movie sometimes.
Okay.
And it's basically just about this girl who is like on her way to school one day and she sees this really hot guy. She's like, I'm gonna go stalk him for a bit. And then she goes to this like abandoned, I think it's like an onsen place or something, but she sees this door in the middle of just this room and she opens it, and inside that door, because the door is just like alone, it's just like a door frame, but inside that door is like this other dimension, and she accidentally opens up like something bad, and the guy that she was stalking is like, he knows about that stuff, and so she just kind of gets wrapped up in that whole situation.
What made you put this on?
Because I've seen just like the preview thing that Netflix throws on, and I'm like, that looks just visually very pleasing. Very interesting.
You remember that anime that you're telling me about? It's called like The Angel or something?
Yeah.
That's coming to like HBO, or it's like on
Thank
HBO.
God, I've been wanting to watch that.
Yeah, dude, we should watch it.
It looks so fucking wild. Like, that looks like the death metal of fucking Japan.
Yeah. I hear it's like I do want to controversial or something, or it's cool. Like some people don't like it or whatever.
Yeah, that one's a little bit more hardcore feeling. This one, Suzume is definitely more whimsical. So I would say if you're in the mood for something whimsical and colorful and pretty, it's good.
Angel's Egg,
yeah.
Yeah, on HBO for March, so it's March. Yeah. Cool.
Cool, yeah. I want to check that out. And then...
Did you go to the movies?
No.
You don't have a kid and you didn't go to the movies?
No. I could go tomorrow if I wanted. That's a difference, though.
I think, like before Sarah got pregnant, me and Dom went to the movies like every week, like every Friday, and we just like mowed through movies, get out. And so it was essentially, we saw like everything.
That's
and,
fun.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel the need to do that too much. There's always a movie I want to watch. So if Sophie's ever like, let's go see a movie, I have something ready.
Yeah.
I really wanted to watch Nirvana, the show, the movie, the tour, or whatever it's called.
Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie.
Yeah. Something? The band, the show, the movie. I heard that's fun. So yeah, I have stuff in mind. But Daniel, there was a TMNT Magic the Gathering release, so I picked that up this week. It's pretty fun.
Like the cards?
Cards, yeah.
Okay.
And that's cool.
there a Kevin Eastman card?
There is.
Nice.
Dude, there's a Kevin Eastman. If you open up the booster packs, there's a chance that you get like it inked, like Kevin Eastman stuff.
Mm.
It's just like a print of his original run. And that I think would be cool. But there's like only like 100 of those cards that are signed by Kevin Eastman. And they have like a little shredder doodle on them.
Mm.
And Parker sent me like one of them. And it's going for like 40K. And I'm like, Kevin Eastman does not have it like that. So I don't know why. Anything over 1,000, I would have been surprised by.
I think he does pretty well.
I think he definitely does well, but just like Sophie has something signed by Kevin Eastman in her room.
One of the, I guess a toy deal just lapsed with TMNT with like Playmate or something.
Mm.
And that deal has been like going on since like 88.
Yeah.
The almost like 40 years of toy money.
Right. I don't doubt that he's not like living comfortably. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's cool. I like the way that the cards play. So I thought that was fun.
And did she get signed by something like at the con?
She has a thing that's signed by him, but she didn't get it signed by him in the moment. It was just already signed.
Okay.
But, and then I finished the DLC for Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. So
you finished that game?
Almost. So
okay.
I was like about to finish the game and I was like, I've had a lot of fun with this. So I bought the DLC. So I played the DLC stuff and now I'm about to finish the game. I'll probably finish it next week.
Hmm.
But Idris Elba is like a big part of the DLC thing and he's such a good actor in it. I just think it's really impressive.
Is it like him in
it's
the
him.
Game?
It's him in the game.
Nice.
And he's like acting and stuff and he's like clearly just a much better actor than like
big
Keanu
selling
Reeves.
Point.
Yeah, it is. It's he's really fucking cool in it too. And I had to like, I did the ending where I killed him in the end and I just didn't feel good about it, to be honest.
I just wouldn't do it.
I almost wanted to like reload
it. I would just DNF.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's a good game.
Nice.
What'd you watch?
I watched a movie called Caught Stealing.
That's the one where he's running? He's running all the time?
A bit of running, yeah. Not the...
Austin Butler?
Yeah. Not the movie I've seen with the most running lately.
This week?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Darren Aronofsky, who's mm-hmm. the director. That movie rules. Big recommend. I wouldn't cool. put it on your list or anything, but like it was good enough and like exciting enough for me to recommend to mom.
Hmm.
And you know how that is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
She gets really excited about movies with a lot of energy like that, I think.
Yeah, it's got tons of energy. And it's just, it seemed like low budget, but they did a lot with like the budget, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked it a lot.
Cool.
Who's that actor? Matt Smith is that his name from
Doctor Who guy?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Matt he's Smith. In it, and he has a fucking sick mohawk in it, and it's the best.
I can't imagine it with a mohawk.
And he plays like a Brit.
What color is the mohawk?
Multiple.
Whoa. All the colors?
That not all of them, but
oh, okay.
I think his mohawk's worth the price of admission. I think it's on something right now. I've seen it, but
I think it's on Netflix. Yeah, I want to say I scrolled past it.
It might be. It's a lot of fun. I recommend. And then I watched F1.
Why?
Because it fucking rules.
That's what I hear. People really like it. Is it really that good?
Believe the hype, dude.
Really?
The first like two acts are fucking electric. I was like, what's going to happen? And I was like, oh my, I don't understand really? It wow. at all. But I was like,
because I see that movie and I'm like, this is a commercial.
It does look like a commercial. In the end, when you think about it for a long time,
it's a commercial.
It's like pretty formulaic and it's not like any like super original ending or anything.
Sure.
But the rest of it just fucking rules.
Hey, that's a testament
it's fucking
to what it is.
Who directed fast that paced, again? I don't know his name.
Was it Shane Black?
No, fucking Shane Black wishes. No, it's a
oh,
guy.
Oh, no, he did the Gran Turismo one, sorry.
That
PlayStation one.
The
District 9 guy?
District 9 guy.
Is it not Shane Black?
No.
No, Shane Black did the Nice Guys?
Nice Guys.
Mm, okay.
Fuck, oh, I like that dude.
I like him too.
I can't remember him.
He did Chappie?
Yeah, he's got a weird name.
Neil Blomkamp.
Blomkamp, yeah. No, F1. It's like a dude who's done movies, but Joseph Kaczynski. Oh, yeah, he did fucking Maverick. Did you see Maverick?
No.
Oh, that movie rules too.
I've seen no Top Gun movies.
He did Oblivion, which seems like something Neil Blomkamp would have done.
He didn't do that?
No.
That Matt Damon one?
No, it's Tom Cruise in this. Neil Blomkamp did...
It's like energy.
It's that has Matt Damon. It's called like...
It's like a future state.
Elysium. Yeah. I haven't even seen that shit. He's in Gatorade commercials. That's how you know he's good.
Let's go.
But yeah.
Okay, cool.
He did Taco Bell commercial too. Anyway, he's...
Wait, the guy that did F1?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Directors, they do commercials, you know?
Yeah, I know, but...
But this shit got like nominated and correctly nominated, you know?
Really? You think so?
I don't think it's going to win anything, but...
I'm surprised you like it.
Like that?
As much as you do.
I thought it was just kind of
I've heard good things, but
I thought it was just smooth brain, like, this movie. It is.
You need those, though.
But it rules, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like, I think the thing that I was pushing back on the most was that Dad liked it, like, a lot. Like, in an annoying way. Like, he watches it, like, he's watched it multiple times.
Whoa, wow.
You know?
That seems like...
Barbarina was also like, yeah, it's
that
good.
Seems pinnacle Dad movie, though. So can you blame him?
It is.
You're also a dad too, so it could still be a dad movie.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe you're just so susceptible to those movies now.
I like dad movies.
I've always liked them too, I think, but...
You should watch Den of Thieves.
Is that a dad movie?
Huge dad movie. I'm really? Pretty sure...
It seems more artsy than a dad movie would typically be.
No. It's Gerard Butler.
Oh,
doing
really?
A heist.
Oh my God, that sounds awesome.
And 50 cents in it.
Whoa! That's, oh my God, it's like AI made a dad movie.
It's like the best dad movie ever.
That's cool.
The sequel's all right, but that movie, like, it's like long, but I would watch that at any given moment.
That's cool. Oh, I watched the Gorillaz made an animated movie, an animated short. Sorry.
Oh, really?
It's like 10 minutes. They put it up on YouTube, but it's like traditional 2D. Like hand animated, and it's fucking awesome. It looks like if the gorillas made like the Jungle Book movie.
Oh, cool!
Like those gorillas' characters are in it a little bit, but like the beginning of it, you could
the singer's
like, tell.
Name 2D.
What
the singer's name? Like the
2D?
Yeah, like the character.
That. That's cool.
Yeah, I was like 2D animated it.
Yeah. No, I don't think he did, but it's really cool. It's only like 10 minutes or something on YouTube. But
have you ever watched? Like probably not, but there's like a like kind of a history to like the characters.
I know that there's like lore,
like throughout the
in they're in the universe.
Lifetime. Yeah. And
I should do a deep dive on that. There's probably a YouTube video essay I'll watch and get a kick out of.
I think there's a couple. Like I think there's a lot to it, and it like connects to like the Powerpuff Girls.
What?
Yeah,
because I'm getting on this immediately.
I just saw that was connected. I'm like, I don't have the time to consume this, but...
Yeah. No, you should check out the Gorillaz thing. I forget the name of it, but it's got a long title, which also made me interested in it.
Because their album just dropped.
Yeah, it's probably tied to that. There's like three Gorillaz songs in there.
Do you see them
But it's like a silent...
In the... Film. In the ad for stage tour or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
The new...
I didn't...
Like Activision Guitar Hero game.
I didn't pay attention enough to see what songs were in there. But
maybe it's not Activision, but
I don't think so.
But they were the band.
Cool.
And it was like Feel Good Inc. in the ad or whatever.
Oh, cool.
Because there's like IGN thing.
Excited for that?
I don't know why they're doing it.
I don't know either.
When there's Clone Hero.
And it's for free.
And it's any song, you know?
Right.
But I'll buy it or I'll play it. It's probably like free. And then there's like the buying shit.
You can buy the guitar.
Like in-app purchases. I got my own guitar.
Well, I'm saying, it's kind of hard to get a guitar. That's the only thing.
How so?
You gotta, like, buy it on eBay or something?
I bought mine on Amazon.
For how much?
$80.
That's pretty standard. All right, never mind then. Fuck me.
I mean, I don't know if AI is using up all the chips or something. And then, like, there's a chip in the Guitar Hero guitar.
I think there would be.
You should 3D print a guitar.
I do want to do that. I think it'd be fun because I know how to do the electrical stuff a little bit.
Exactly.
Enough to make my own. So
easy.
I might try.
So yeah, I'll plug in my shit and then just play whatever songs are free and maybe see where that goes.
They have to know that Clone Hero exists. So they Surely. There's probably something that they're going to bring to it.
A part I do kind of cool miss that, from Clone Hero that I haven't figured out all the mods for is like the band and just kind of shit in the background.
I think that just the download has to have that already. Or maybe you can blanket your own band and put it on there.
Yeah, have like blanket Luffy mod as like the singer or whatever.
That's just the Fortnite
and
stuff.
Like, and like Jake the Dog is a guitar player.
That would be awesome. Peak gaming.
Exactly.
But yeah, we'll see what that ends up being.
Anyway, what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Is it time?
It sure is.
For your birthday?
You're goddamn right it is.
Oh my God, what are we reading for your birthday? Turn 30. Is it going to be something with an old person in it? Is it going to be like fucking... What's that book with an old person in it? I can't even think of any.
Old Man Logan or something?
Old Man Logan. Are we gonna do Old Man Hawkeye? Because that's what you look like now. We read fucking DK 3. Oh.
Close.
Oh.
We're going to read
the DC
All-Star Batman and Robin The Boy Wonder.
I know why you want me to read this.
What?
Have you read it?
No.
Wait.
Have you?
Is it the one? Isn't JRJR in that?
You're thinking of All-Star Batman.
Okay, never mind.
That's the one with Scott Snyder?
Right. Okay,
we're not reading that one. I would never pick a JRJR book.
Yeah, I was surprised. Because that's the one with the scene where they fuck up Green Lantern by putting him in a yellow room.
Maybe.
Have you read that book?
All-Star Batman and Robin?
No, sorry. This is a Jim Lee one.
Yeah.
Frank Miller?
Yep.
Never mind, I just spoiled the scene then. Is it? I have read this.
You've read this?
Yeah.
All the way through?
Yeah.
Why?
I think it was like early on, I didn't know it was like what comics were really, so I was just buying stuff and reading it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay, cool.
It's all like right. Some peak Jim Lee stuff. I think you'll like it.
All right. We'll see. But
that's a good pick.
Alrighty. It's like 200 something pages.
Yeah.
It's like nine issues.
It's a good time though.
Okay. Good. Alrighty. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, and subscribe.
Everybody say happy birthday to Daniel. Happy but next week.
Yeah, next week. Right. Put it in your calendar.
Yeah. Set it to every year.
Tell us.
What's your favorite Invincible Universe book?
Yeah. If you want us to do that next season.
Next season.
Which should be like next year, probably, if they go at the same pace that.
I hope they do.
That leaves a shitty animation.
Mm-hmm.
TrevorsPod@gmail.com. And goodbye.
Five stars.
Give us five stars if you're here.
Yep. Goodbye.